Rabbi said this parasha told us. Parasha told us it's a very obviously a very powerful a parasha with a lot of intrigue, a lot of mystery. Rivka really did a job on Yitzchak. Quite a story, huh? It's quite a story. Parasha has told us. The parasha let's first begin with the Devar from the beginning of the parasha. The Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. And then it says, Avraham hoylid es Yitzchak. This would appear to be redundant. These are the generations of Yitzchak is the son of Avraham. So why does it have to say, once we know that Yitzchak is the son of Avraham, you need to tell me, Avraham hoylid es Yitzchak? Right? So who asked this question? Rashi asked this question. Rashi asked, what's going on over here? So Rashi says two ideas. Yeah, two different ideas. You read it very simply. Rashi says, La'achar, really it's in brackets. I never noticed it. I mean, this edition, the first answer is in brackets. La'achar, shekoro ha-kodosh baruch hu shemoy Avraham, achar kach hoilid es Yitzchak. So that Rashi is going back to Psukim, that Avram loy hoilid. Avram was unable to have children. Was impossible. So Avram complained to Hashem, "Matitein li v'anochi holecharidi uven mesek beisu da mesek eliezer." What is all about, Hashem? What do I need? What's all the miracles? What's this? What's that? Avram cannot have children. Look in the stars. It's impossible. So Hashem said to Avram, "Say mi itzdagminus shelecha. Don't look into the stars. Don't worry about your natural physical limitations. I'm going to change your name. We're going to do miracles. I'm going to change your name from Avram to Avraham. Lo yikori oid shimcha Avram, v'hoya shimcha Avraham. Oh, Avraham, Av hamoin goyim. Avraham can have a child. Avram can have a child, but Avraham can have a child." Now, this is all supernatural. This is all mystical. This is all obviously lemala miderech hateva. Avraham, not Avraham. Okay? So that's what the pasuk says. The Eilet, Holodos Yitzchok, the son ben Avraham. And let me remind you, Rabbi Isai, Avraham Hoylides Yitzchak. The only reason why we have such a thing as Toldos Yitzchak, we have a Yitzchak, it's only because Hashem changed his name from Avram to Avraham. It was only after his name was changed to Avraham, that's why Hoylides Yitzchak. Now we come, then we have Dovar Acher. Now we have another interpretation. What's the other interpretation? Rashi continues, Dovar Acher, Al Yidei Shekosav Akosav Yitzchak ben Avraham, Yitzchak is the son of Avraham, Huskak Loimar, it was necessary to say Avraham Hoylides Yitzchak. Why? Because in last week's parasha we had this very uncomfortable situation where Yitzchak, where Avraham, he went to the land of Pelishtim because there was a famine, and he went into Avimelech, and then Sarai was abducted, and then later, shortly thereafter, she became pregnant. So the late son, Hadar, would say that Sarah is not pregnant from Avraham, from her husband, but she's pregnant from Avimelech. After all, she had Yichud. She was abducted by Avimelech. Lefisha, how you late son, Hadar? We had to say in the Tehillim, right? The Moishav Leitzin. The Moishav Leitzin. We learned today twice about the Leitzin. She was 90 years old. What happened until now? She wasn't pregnant until now. She's 90 years old. Avraham is 100 years old. She was never pregnant all these years. And all of a sudden, after one night, spending one night with Avimelech, now she's pregnant. So, excuse me, who's the real father of Yitzchak? Yitzchak's father is Avimelech. Yitzchak is a mamzer. That's what the late son Hadar would say. So therefore, me osa kadosh baruch hu, tsar, he formed, kilaster panav, the image, the features, I don't have a good translation of the word kilaster, the image of his face, shel Yitzchak, doimeli Avraham. Yitzchak was this spitting image of Abraham. In today's terms, it would say they did a paternity test, a DNA paternity test. Okay, based like the after the standards of the times. Today, if you want to know who a person's father is, so there are techniques. Go to a laboratory. There's very advanced technology where you can do a paternity test to make it clear as day beyond a shadow of a doubt who is the father, who is this person's father. So this is exactly the equivalent of a paternity test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he fashioned the facial features in such a way that it is impossible for this person to be anyone other than the child of Avraham. Tzor kilaster panav shel Yitzchak doyme li Avraham veheidu hakol. This was even better than a DNA test. That's only 99.999999 accurate. This was 100% accurate. There was no question. There was no room to doubt the fact. Ve'idu ha'kol Avraham ha'ilidus Yitzchak. Ve'zehu shakos avkan. Yitzchak ben Avraham ha'ya. How do you know that Yitzchak was the son of Avraham? Shaharei edus. Everyone can testify that the klaster panav of Avraham edus yesh sha'Avraham ha'ilid es Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So Rashi over here is telling us two perushim as to what this pasuk means, why it says repeats Avraham ha'lidus Yitzchak. It would appear that these two explanations are completely different worlds of pshat, completely different approaches to explain, and yet they complement one another and they define Klal Yisrael. We have to appreciate Avraham was the Av HaManav. He was patriarch. He was where it all began. Yitzchak, ki be Yitzchak yikari l'chazara. This is the beginning of Klal Yisrael. This is the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Rashi here, and this one Rashi is telling us incredibly insight. There are two dimensions to Klal Yisrael. Their very existence, the very existence of Klal Yisrael has two dimensions, and there are two sides of the same coin. Mitzad echad, we are a nation that is lemala miderech hateva. There is no science, there is no logic, there is no explanation as how Klal Yisrael can survive, how they can exist in this world. Avram lo yehoilid. Avram cannot have a child. Avraham can have a child. Hashem said to Avram, "Tzei mi'itz tagnina shalacha. I'm gonna do for you miracles. I'm gonna do something lemala miderech hateva. It's gonna be a miracle that you'll have a child. There will be no plausible explanation in any law of science how it's possible for you to have a child. Avraham hoylides Yitzchak. Not Avram. It was only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu acknowledged, you're right, this is Teva, this is nature, it is impossible, but we're going to go l'mala miderech ha-teva, and it will be Avraham ha-lidus Yitzchak. And then Rashi, in the second interpretation, says, it's 100% al derech ha-teva. It's Yitzchak ben Avraham, sor klaster ponov, shel Yitzchak doyme la-Avraham, ve-he'idu ha-kol. This is biological son. It's the same DNA. I'm trying to suggest that Rashi's second explanation is saying that the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about Avraham giving birth to Yitzchak was al derech ha-teva. V'heidu ha-kol. Because you have to understand what it means, v'heidu ha-kol. The world, most of the world, 99% of the world does not believe in miracles. This is a world of kaifrim, a world of avodah zarah. Science, science, science. Trust the science, believe in the science. It's an oilam of teva. And there's no room for lamala miderech teva. For Rashi to say these words, the heidu hakoil. Hakoil. No room to doubt. Avraham hoilides Yitzchak. So what does that mean? Science. They did a DNA test. They did all the different possible things that science has to offer. Yeah, it's his biological child. No, he's 100, she's 90. No, so, you know, the laboratories can do a lot of things today. The heidu hakol Avraham Hoylides Yitzchak. The whole world to acknowledge such a thing, a world of Kaifrim and Avraham the Zara, Klal Yisrael can exist, their existence is Al Derech HaTeva. But the first Rashi says, no, Avraham Hoylides Yitzchak, not Avram. Avram is an impossibility. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered into the picture, I'm going to do a miracle. This is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael mitzad echad, we are l'mala miderech hateva, beyond the shadow of that. Our very existence defies science. It's impossible for a 90-year-old man, 90-year-old woman, and a 100-year-old man who were not physically capable for many reasons to have children, to have a child. It's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened. Avraham, I'm changing your name, saying it's Dagninus. But mitzad sheni, we live in a world of science. And we have to follow the rules of science. How do you reconcile that contradiction? How do you reconcile the contradiction of mitzad echad, we are l'mala miderech hateva? Mitzad sheni, you know, we're no different than anyone else. You have to do what everyone else does. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to sleep, you have to do exercise, you have to take care of yourself. We're just human beings. We're subject to the same rules of Teva and science like anyone else. That itself is a Pella. That itself is another dimension of the supernatural. The synthesis of being a nation that Mitzad Echad is. Ha'idu Akol! Avraham, Hoylides Yitzchak, it's just a natural phenomenon. Mitzad Sheini? No, it's not. Avram Hoylid. Avraham. It's the synthesis of Klal Yisrael being Lamala Miderech HaTeva, living in a world of Teva. Yitzchak is the Haskola of Avraham Avinu's or his influence of the beginning of Klal Yisrael, ki b'Yitzchak yikari l'cha zara. Who is Yitzchak? Who is he? Who is this person? Gesundheit. Well, Yitzchak lives in Olam Hazeh. He's subject to the rules of nature. Ha'idu hakol. It's a sign, it's a derech hateva. But that's only half the story. Avraham olidus Yitzchak. This is Klal Yisrael. We are a synthesis of, we are mitzad echad, we are exist l'mal l'miderech ha-teva, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did put us in the world of Teva to elevate the Teva, to participate in the Teva, to be part of the Teva. The two dimensions, they morph into one to create a bria b'fnei atzmo. As you say, mafli la'asos. Right, the Baruch Asher Yotzar, the first Ramah, mafli la'asos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechaber, the neshama with the guf, the neshama is davar ruchni, and the guf is davar gashmi. How could a davar ruchni, davar gashmi come together? Every human being has in himself a neshama and a guf. They're two complete. They're different worlds. They don't mix. It's a pillar. Einoch nami. This is a wonder. The same way this concept by every human being is a pillar. In the bigger picture of the world, there is a nation who is a pillar, who is a wonder. Klal Yisrael's very existence, mitzad echad is l'mal derech hateva, but mitzad sheni, heidu akol. This is perhaps an idea to explain the two perushim of Rashi. It is the wonder of Klal Yisrael, mafli la'asois of the world, just like every person in the world, it's a mafli la'asois that he has both elements. In the bigger picture of the thing, Klal Yisrael is a nation that in essence is a mafli la'asois for the entire world.
That's why the Barbanel, by the way, says called Shomer Yitzachakli. Why doesn't it say call Haroa Yitzachakli? Because obviously, if you saw him, you wouldn't laugh because you would know it's from the Rambam. So it says only the person
Shemeya,
who heard
not
and didn't see him, they're the only ones who would make a joke about it. That maybe may Abimelech.
Very good, beautiful. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Okay, this is just a short idea. Rashi over here tells us right away there's a lot of foreshadowing in the past. Really, the first Rashi. The Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. Rashi, Yitzchak, told us of Yitzchak. First Rashi is a very bizarre Rashi, very difficult to understand what Rashi is trying to tell us. Yaakov ve'esav ho'amurim b'parsha. You don't have a Rashi like this anywhere. These are the toldos of Yitzchak. What it says over here now is foreshadowing what's coming later in the parsha. Rashi is setting a tone. Everything you're going to learn about, you know, what's going to happen later on in the parsha, there are a lot of things. Obviously, the climax of the parsha is the brachas, the intrigue of Yitzchak and Rivka, disguising Yaakov as Esav. But Rashi's, everything that we're going to have now is setting the tone, what's coming later. In other words, ordinarily you learn a parsha, you know, there's this story, and there's this story, and there's this story. You want to say drush, you know, to connect A to B, B to C, A to D, v'chul, v'chul, okay. Over here, it's almost as Rashi is saying, there's no drush here. This is pshat. The drush here is pshat. Every single element, every single thing that's being mentioned here is all a preparation for the ultimate goal of the brachas. And when you look at it with that perspective, a lot of words and ideas, right away, they strike you as having an entirely different meaning. For example, let's give you a little example. So we have here, Avraham is Yitzchak, Vahi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shana, Bekachto is Rivka, Bahu's Rivka, Bas Bisuel Hoarami, Mi Padan Aram, Achois Lovon Hoarami Lol Isha. Excuse me, you need a Yichus brief here. I need a Yichus brief. We know the Yichus already. We know the Yichus. Go back to Parashas Chayisara. There's Bisuel, there's Lovon. What's this all about here? What's going on over here?
Rashi said
them. What does Rashi say? So Rashi gives some shot because even though her praise, even though she was raised in a home of evil, three things. She lived in the place of Resha. She did not learn from their evil ways. Okay, that's Rashi saying pshat in the Chanani. But I want to say a little bit more based upon the Brei Rashi is the word Arami is a besides what it means Aram, a name of a location, but also it means in Chazal a crooked person, a person of deceit, trickery. Rivka had to borrow from the tools of her trade in order to achieve the result. Rashi over here is telling us, where does it come? Again, Rashi begins the parasha by telling us, Yaakov ve'esav ho'amur b'parasha. Take every single thing that happens in this parasha as a tool to gain insight as to how, shalom aleichem. Wow, I haven't seen you in quite a long time.
COVID.
Wow, welcome. Good to see you. Shalom aleichem. So how does all of this, all of these things, all of these events, all of these details, they all are leading up to the end game. Rivka pulled off quite a show by this. How did she know how to do this? Rashi's foreshad, Pasuk is foreshadowing, because she grew up in a community where that was the name of the game. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, she needed this trait. She needed to know what to do in a desperate situation. She was in fact the brother of Lavan. Lavan would have done the same thing. He would have disguised one. How do you know? Because he did. Lavan went and he disguised Rachel for Leah. Guess what?
Explain that Rivka didn't go to her husband.
Okay, so we'll talk about it. Okay, we'll get to obviously there was some type of disagreement which could not be reconciled. Irreconcilable differences. They could not reconcile this difference, and this is what was needing. Then that's a different issue. Isn't it interesting that Lavan and Rivka, brother and sister, did exactly the same thing? Lavan, you want to marry Rachel? Here you go. Who did he give her? He dressed her up in a nice wedding gown, closed the lights. Who did he give her? Leah. What did his sister do? Same thing. The sister, the same thing. You want to give a bracha to Esav? Here you go. She took Yaakov dressed him up as Esav. The Pasuk is telling us this. Pasuk here is telling us, Achois Lavan Ho'arami, she is the sister of Lavan. But there's a very, very important, I think there's a very important point here. And that is, they both did something that appears to be unethical. Lavan,
I don't know what it says.
That's Leah, that's the very end of the parasha. That's the very, very end of the parasha. Eni demam olam den, that's the end of the parasha. But they both did something which would appear on face value to be very unethical. Right? Rivka, she switched, and Lavan. So here's the question. Maybe that's a revelation that they're both unethical people. They're both unethical. Or maybe this is just who they are. This pasuk here is telling us a very powerful point. It's not true. Lavan was corrupt. Rivka was a tzadekis. Rivka had to borrow temporarily from the midah of Lavan to accomplish something that was critical. Because what would you say? You would say just the opposite. You would say the one that was corrupt, chas v'shalom, was Rivka. And Lavan learned the trade of corruptness, of being unethical from Rivka. Who was the head of the mafia? Who's the head? Who's the mastermind as invented this approach to life of to be a crook and to train people? Who's the one that gets the blame? There are a lot of innocent bystanders. Yeah, you have a system that's corrupt. Who's responsible? Who's the mastermind? Are you all equal partners in sin? Sometimes everyone is an equal partner in crime. They're all equal. And sometimes, no. There's a real wicked, crooked person. And unfortunately, there are people that are caught up in his web and are nachschleppers. And have to be a nachschlepper. The pasuk over here very, very powerfully is coming to defend, to set the record straight. There is only one corrupt person in this world. In this, Lavan. Lavan is the Arami. Lavan is the mastermind of corruption. He is the mastermind. Rivka is the Achois Lavan. It is being stated here. When you're going to find here later on in this parasha that Rivka is going to do something which appears to be hard to swallow, and it is hard to swallow, don't chas v'shalom think this is who she is. She is a corrupt person. Chas v'shalom. How then did she do it? She happened to know how to do these things because she happened to grow up in a place where they do these things. But this is not who she is. If the pasuk would not make this statement, you can come to the conclusion and say, listen, this is what she is. This is the family. They're corrupt. Lavan did it. She did it. This is who they are. You got to do what you got to. This is the modus operandi. How you operate. No. The pasuk says, "Vayitzchok ben Abraham shvayik bekachta yes Rivka." He took Rivka. Rivka's bas pesuel harami mi padan adam. She is the achois Lavan harami. The one that's the arami is Lavan, not Rivka. There's a very powerful, subtle message. There's no such thing as Rivka Ho'arami, Ho'aramis. Nowhere in Tanakh is Rivka Ho'aramis. You ever hear such a nusach? Never heard such a nusach. You ever hear a nusach, Lavan Ho'arami? Oh, it's right here. If not for this pasuk, you would never, there's Lavan and there's Rivka. They're part of the mafia. There's a mafia gang. That's how they operate. Go look what it says in it, look what they do. No. The pasuk here is setting the record straight. There's someone called the Godfather. There is Lavan Harami. He's the Arami. Rivka is his sister. She is not an Aramis. She is not a crooked. The word Arami means a crooked person. Doesn't just mean from Aram. Pashup Shalitza, you come from Aram. No. Lavan Ho'arami. It means, as Chazal interpret, he's a crooked deceiver. Oh, sorry?
Ha-ra-ma-i.
Ha-ra-ma-i.
No, ha-ra. Now you got me confused.
Okay.
Ha-ra-ma-i.
Ha-ra-ma-i. Okay, he is the, that's what it calls him here. He is the Arami. He is the crook. It happens to be Rivka. She's a sister. She's a Tahira. She's pure. Oh, she behaved in a way which knew whatever the reasons were that it was necessary to do what she needed to. But don't you dare make that assumption that this is who she is. We are juxtaposing both of them next to each other to make it clear as day. Lavan Ho'arami and not Rivka Ho'aramos. Haramois. Chas v'shalom. It's Lavan Ho'arami. He's the crook. Rivka is pure. It happens to be she was his sister. It happened to be she was trained very well. And therefore, she knew what she needed to do, but she's
she
not.
She was a little girl when she left. She was a little girl.
3 years old. By then, 3 years old was like 100 years old.
So she learned.
You have to. Listen, she drew the with all the camels. That. You know how much water she drew? Obviously, she was very sophisticated to do all these things.
Right.
All right. It's Bisuel Ho'arami. She was surrounded. And she was Lavan Ho'arami, and they came from a place called but yet she's in the middle of all this, and she is not called Rivka Ho'aramis. We need to make that statement clear, otherwise it's all superfluous. And Rashi tells the Pashup Shah, even though she grew up in the place, Rashi is saying this to a certain degree, even though she grew up among wicked people, she remained a tzadekis. That's, in essence, that's what it's saying, but we're coming to separate her. Because if we would not spell this out with clarity in this pasuk, and you would just go and proceed to read the parasha, and you would see how she behaves, wait a minute, what's going on over here? That's not how a nice person behaves, to do trickery. Her husband wants to do one thing, and she goes out of her way, and Lavan did the same thing. Yeah! That's what they're all about. That's who we are. Chas v'shalom. The pasuk has to make it clear. There's a Besuel Ho'arami, there's a Lavan Ho'arami, and there's Rivka. Rivka is not part of this clan. It is necessary for this to be spelled out. Okay, let me go further. I want to go to another idea. Let's proceed. We learn later on in the parasha.
Hello. I said, Chad, that the reason she told Yaakov Avinu was a big dechamudos, he never would have been able to do it. He was such an ish-am. He never could have done that thing of tricking his father. Unless Rivka...
Okay, that's a separate issue. That's a separate issue. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. She led the entire thing. I want to go to another idea. Another idea we learned about Yitzhak becoming blind. It's a very, very fascinating Rashi. Rashi tells us three reasons as to why Yitzhak became blind. The first reason is, you can really divide them into the past, the present, and the future. What is the past? When Yitzhak was offered as a korban at the Akedah, so Rashi says, the Malachi Hashores cried, and their tears descended from heaven and mingled and entered into the eyes of Yitzhak, and from that, he became blind. The second reason is because of Esav's wives. Esav's wives, they offered ketores. They brought offerings to Avodah Zarah, and it produces a lot of smoke. And this smoke somehow went into the eyes of Yitzhak, and it caused him to become blind. And then Rashi gives the third reason. It was none of the above. It was done so that the brachos could go to Yaakov. Hashem had to work. Hashem had to make this happen, so he would be blind. He would not see what's coming. Who is Esav? Who is Yaakov? So he would give the blessings to Yaakov. Let me actually read the words of Rashi with more precision. Pas peruchav zayin vayiki zokein Yitzchak. It's pasuk aleph. Vatichen eina meraos. So the first Rashi over here says ba'ashanon shel elu, in the smoke of these women. Who just got married to Esav, shahoyu ma'ashnois umatirois la'avodah zara. Dover Acher, Kishenekar al Gabi Hamizbech, Vahoyo Aviv Reitzel Lashachoto, he wanted to slaughter him, but Isa Shah, Niftichu Hashamayim, the Ro Malachi Hashores, and they saw the Malachi Hashores, Vahoyo Boichim, the Malachi Hashores were crying, Vyardu de Moiseim, Vinoflu al Einav, Lefichach, Kehu Einav, Dover Acher, Kideshi Yitol Yaakov Es Haberachis. So first of all, one vard is an independent vard is there are three reasons given, and it would appear this is the past, the present, and the future. What happened? Many. How long was Yah? How long was he married? How long ago? That was 85 years ago. They were married already for 83 years at the time of the brachos. It says in Rashi that Yitzchak was 123 years old. 123 years old. He was 5 years before his mother died. His mother was 127 when she died. He was worried that he would die soon. Within 5 years of his mother, he was 123 years old. He was 40 years old when he got married. So that makes it 83 years of marriage. Plus another three from the Akedah, 86 years ago. So the Akedah took place 86 years ago. And Rashi says he was blind. He was blind from an event that happened 86 years ago. That's the past. Then Rashi's first shot is, it says the Psukim one line above, that Yitzchak, that Esav decided, oh, when my father was 40 years old, he got married. So you know what? I'm also going to get married now. What does it say in the Pasuk before? It says, Esav ben Arboim Shana, so they were living now in the house. It would appear now they're living now in the house. He's becoming blind at this moment because he's living with his daughter-in-laws, and his daughter-in-laws are bringing a karbonos and ketores to avodah zara, and the whole house is filled with pollution. Okay, secondhand avodah zara smoke. Okay, and he becomes blind. Doesn't affect his lungs. It affects his eyes.
So he's blind most of his life.
It doesn't say when it kicked in, because how old is Yitzhak now? Then it's a lot more than 40 years later.
Yeah.
But it seems from Rashi they're living at home with him, and right now they're continuously offering sacrifice to gods, and there's smoke in the house, and now he became blind. So it's what's happening at this moment in time. And then Rashi became blind because of what's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. He's going to give the blessings to the next generation, and he's going to want to go give it to Esav. And Hashem does not want that to happen, so Hashem's going to work it out that he should be blind, so he should give it to Yaakov. It would appear Rashi, by giving us three reasons, telling us blindness can come from the past, the present, and the future. And I believe there's a very deep insight into that. Blindness doesn't just mean physically blind. Blindness means you don't make a good decision. You're influenced. It's like a bribe. Loisikach shoychad, ki hashoychad yaver einei chachomim v'tzlev divrei tzadikim. Someone takes money, you're bribed. Okay, you take. Someone gives you money. If someone takes money, then your decisions are skewed. Okay, anytime someone is telling you what to do, it's very nogea now. There are people, a lot of, you know, in politics, people are making big decisions all the time that affect many people's lives. And the first question you have to ask, why? And they tell you it's for your good. How much money did you get to make a decision for my good? How much money went into your pocket? Whenever someone tells you this is for your good, ask, were you paid? Were you paid money to say this to us? And it's shocking to find out how much money people are paid to make decisions that are for our good. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Lo sikach shoychat. Ki ha-shoychat, ye'aver, it blinds, enecha chamim v'salef divrei tzadikim, even a tzadik. According to the Gemara, a person goes to go to a Gemara case. You go to a dayan for a court case, and you see the litigant in the hallway. And the litigant, he brushes. Oh, there's some dust on your jacket, and he brushes off the dust. You're possible to be his dayan. He didn't give me one penny. He just brushed off some dust. Yipasul. Alachas kal kama. Someone does something for you. Someone gives you real money. It's not so simple. Rashi here is telling us that a person can be blinded in life and can be nogea bedavar to make a decision because of events that have happened in the past, that are happening right now, and that you anticipate will happen in the future. I once know the story of a person that was making very big decisions, and I was very surprised. What do you care about this? Why are you getting involved in this? And then it just came out, Derech Agav, is that this person is maneuvering. He's maneuvering a couple of years from now to achieve to get a certain position. And if he's now going to go on record what he's doing now, it's going to definitely be a very, very big problem for him now. So based upon his goals for the long-term future, he's mamash blind. He's influenced. Rashi here is telling us an incredible insight. There are three reasons why Yitzchak is blind. Why is Rashi elaborating on his blindness? Is it telling us that blindness prevents a person from making a decision, a correct decision. And a person can be blind from an event that happened in the past, an event that has happened in the present, what's going on now, and something that you anticipate for the future. Vatichena einav mirois. Yitzchak was offered as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach. That was a very powerful event. The Malachi Hashareis, that's an event in the past. This is more of a drush. Okay, let's put that aside. I want to go now something a little bit different. I want to focus specifically on one part of this Medrash. This Chazal of Rashi, he was blind from the tears of the Malachi Hashareis. Now this is an earth-shattering thing. Since when the Malachi Hashareis cry? And even if they do cry, since when do they have tears? And what is the chances that if their tears are coming down from Shemayim, it's going to land in your eyes? From all places to land. It's such hashgacha, it's going to come land in your eyes. I mean, this is very, very, they have emotion. Now think about this. Okay, let's focus on this prat. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemayim to take the luchas, it says explicitly in Chazal, the Malachi Hashareis wanted to kill him. They wanted to rip him apart, to shred him, to pulverize him. The holy Moshe Rabbeinu, Migodolonu mi Moshe Rabbeinu, the Malachi Hashareis were ready to attack like lions and rip Moshe Rabbeinu into smithereens. And Hashem said to Moshe, grab hold, hold on to this. What does it say in the Medrash? Grab on to my coat, to my kia, grab on, hold on, that will protect you from the onslaught. Over here, the Malachi Hashareis, they're crying, Demo Shlish, so emotional. Oy, 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 oy. Yitzchak is going on the Akedah. Oy, there's so much tzar. And they're crying. The Klal Yisrael, ki bi Yitzchak yikaru lucha zara. And when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Shaman, they want to kill him. How do you reconcile this? They're the same Malachi Hashareis. No, they're the same Malachi Hashareis. You know what the answer is? Don't trespass. Don't tread on my turf. When you keep your distance, then you have rachmanis. When you come into my house and you try to take away what belongs to me, it's a whole different ballgame. Okay, the Moshe Rabbeinu came to take away from the Malachi Hashareis the luchos. The Torah. You no longer are in control of the Torah. We're in control. You're coming into my house to take away my possessions? My possessions? I'll kill you. I'll destroy you. You stay outside and you want a handout? I'll cry for you. It's an incredible insight into people, exactly. Parallels people. It's an incredible insight. The contrast between a person can be the ultimate rachamon until it's nogea him. As long as you're on the outside. Well, that, maybe that's the Musa Haskel. Maybe you can. This is an observation I'm making, and now you have to learn how to darshan the observation. It's the same Alachi Hashores that are crying bitter tears, or they're so emotional when Yitzchak is about to be slaughtered. But when Moshe comes to Shemayim, the ferocity is an extreme difference. Mamish, 180 degrees on what's going on. So the simple answer is, because, you know, when you're out in the streets, no, it doesn't affect me. I can be hospitable. I can be a rachamon. I can give away millions of dollars to all the poor people, as long as you stay on the other side of the streets. As long as you're on the other side of the ocean, as long as you're in Africa, I can give a nice donation to the Red Cross to feed starving children in Ethiopia. I can do that. But when the Ethiopian child wants to come into my house, no way. I'll kill you. Don't you dare step foot in my territory. That's enough. So I want to say is that that's why, you know why? That's why they're malachim. A human being is much better than that. V'nasata l'cha mahalchim bein ha'oindim ha'ele. Chazal said that a human being is much greater than a malach. I will give you a mahalech. Ben these malachim, they're like statues. They just stand in one place. They don't have the ability to, they have no mobility. Why not? What makes us better than a malach? The malachim, they're holy, they're very holy, but they can't move. They're stuck. That's why they're stuck. Because a malach can cry when he sees someone suffering, but if you come into their territory, they'll kill you. The Malachi Hasharis that were crying for Yitzchak, when they came and Moshe came to Shemayim to get the Torah, they wanted to destroy him. A human being, it demands from a human being, if you cry for a person who's suffering in this world, when he comes into your house, cry for him also. Have rachmanus on him also. What do you have to kill Moshe Rabbeinu for? Hashem invited Moshe into his house. Hashem's the boss. Hashem invited Moshe Rabbeinu into his house. Hashem made a decision. If Hashem made a decision to give Moshe the Torah, you should be happy. You should rejoice for Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you want to kill Moshe Rabbeinu? What's with the malachim? Black and white. That's what an oymed is. If you're in the world, I'll cry for you. Come into my house. That's why they're in oymed. V'nasati l'cha mahalchem bein ha'oimdim o'el, a human being has to be able to have rachmanis on you, whether you're there, you're here in Shemayim for a purpose, for a reason. Let's see what's going on. I'm not here to go attack you and destroy you. Okay, now I want to give you another idea. Let's go back to the Malachi Hasharis. We once upon a time learned Sefer Yecheskel, and we learned Sefer Yeshayim. And we learned Sefer Yecheskel about the Maisa Merkava. We learned about the Malachim many different times in Malach. I don't remember very much. But one thing that I remember vaguely is there was a lot of discussion in Mefarshim about the eyes of the Malachim. And Sukkim there described that the Malachim have an infinite number of eyes. And they're looking all over the place. There are creatures in this world today. You go online. There are certain creatures in this world that have. We have only two eyes in front of us. There are creatures in this world that have eyes, 360 degrees. They have eyes in front, eyes in the back, on the side, up and down. And there are creatures, exotic creatures, that are able to see everything. Their mind is different. They can see 360 degrees. And some of these creatures have hundreds of eyes. Chazal said the Malachi Hashoyis have an unlimited number of eyes. They see it all. Wherever you go, they're watching. They see every little single detail. The Malachi Hashoyis are crying. Some of the fluid, let's put this in earthly terms, comes out of their eyes and somehow miraculously makes its way down into the earth and enters into the eyes of Yitzchak. Now, if you were writing a science fiction novel, what would you say? Yitzchak was then bestowed with X-ray vision. That's how I would conclude. If Malachi HaShoreis, whose very essence, the Malachi HaShoreis, whose very essence are creatures that are described in detail in Sefer Yechezkel as having an unlimited vision, unlimited, multiple eyes, all different directions, see every little detail of what's going on in this world. If their eyes somehow come into your body, come into you, that means you're given, that's how I would conclude the science fiction story, we're able to extract the fluid from the eyes, the Malachi HaShoreis, I put into my eyes, oh, I have X-ray, I can see everything. I can see everything going on in this world, I have X-ray vision, I see everything. What does it say here? V'atzichena einav mirois. The tears of the Malachi HaShoreis came from Shemayim, and Yitzchak is blind? No, that's not the way the story is supposed to go. That's not the screenplay. That's not the way. It's like, and Yitzchak had X-ray vision. Right? Isn't that way you should conclude? So I want to suggest exactly what it means. And what it's telling you is, sometimes when you see everything, you see too much, you see nothing. Sometimes it's not good to know too much. I want to just, the fact that when Yitzchak was offered as a carbon on the Akedah and the tears of the Malachi HaShoreis came into his eyes, he saw everything. He became a Malach. Yitzchak saw it all. Every little, you see, like Gedolei Yisrael, you go to them, they look at you, they see everything. They see right through you, they know every aver you ever did, they see it all. They see through you. Yitzchak, he saw every little detail of Esav, of Yaakov, of Rivka. He saw it all. He saw it all. So why then is he giving the brachos to Esav and not to Yaakov? That's exactly what he was blind. Because when you see too much, when you know too much, it's no good. It's no good. Hashem made it, this world, in such a way you only have two eyes in front of you. You don't see what's behind you. You don't see through walls. You don't see what people are thinking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited our vision for a purpose. It's not always good to know everything. You don't have to see everything. You don't have to know everything. When you know too much, you make the wrong decision. It's good sometimes not to know everything. The problem why he wanted to give the brachas to Esav and not to Yaakov, because he outsmarted himself. He saw too much. He knew too much. And Hashem says, you know too much, but that's not good, because that's not the way the world works. The way the world works is things can change, things can be different. You see the penimius of Esav, the penimius of Yaakov, but you have to understand there are dimensions in this world that you're not aware of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the world to adapt, to have a degree of a dynamic that's not defined. Yitzchak was blinded by seeing everything. That's what it means. Vatechena einav merois. Okay, I want to tell you another part. What's going on here with Rivka and Yitzchak? Now it's interesting, they were married at this point in time for 83 years. Pretty good, huh? You ever go to a 50th wedding anniversary? I'm sure many of you did. Maybe some of you had your own. Anyone have? Okay, a silver anniversary, a gold anniversary. Okay, what comes next? What's after this, the titanium? What's the next anniversary? 75 years, what?
Diamond,
how many years is that? 75. What's after that?
Wood. Wood?
Hanav in the oven. Okay, so they passed the diamond anniversary. They were married for 83 years. Pretty good, right? Marriage lasted for 83 years. But this marriage, by the way, is like, you know, the Hollywood marriage. here. This is the fantasy marriage of last week's parsha. Chaye Sara, me Hashem yotza hadavar. Wow. You know, this is like the spitz of the hashkacha, the what a marriage. Yet in this week's parsha, you don't find the couple anywhere in the entire Tanakh that could not agree on something. And their marriage seems to be in grave danger. I mean, we're dealing here with the nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, and they don't see eye to eye. Sit down. You're married for 83 years. Sit down with your husband, have a conversation, and discuss who should get the brachas. Come to an agreement. Their partners and their children. What's going on over here? 83 years of marriage. The model marriage in Klal Yisrael.
And Avraham also had arms with each other.
Kol Asher Tomasar Shema B'Koyla. Okay.
It was very serious.
Okay. That's also an issue. But what's going on over here? This is the marriage that Chazal celebrate. This is the model, the paradigm of bliss, marital bliss.
They had a meeting 60 years ago and they decided. This is, we're not deciding.
So what, they decided not to, what's going on over here? There's a war going on over here? So I want to suggest as follows. It's not a complete idea. I want to suggest as follows. Obviously there was something over here that was a problem. Obviously. They couldn't come together. So how do you learn that? So what would you do in this situation? So you take the psukim at face value, you just battle it out. Call the Olin Givar. Right? They can't agree. Whoever will win. Yitzchak wants to do it his way. Rivka wants to do it her way. So she'll outsmart him. Call the Olin Givar. There's no attempt to come back together to reconcile the differences. I want to say that it's mamish, just the opposite. It's just the opposite. And everything here was done very cleverly. Where mitzad echad, there's an Esav, there's a Yaakov, and Yitzchak, Rivka was persuading Rivka in a clever way, it's all drush, of course, is persuading Yitzchak to come around to her approach. Not that she's going to openly, outright fool him in a blatant, deceptive way, but Yitzchak should come around and understand there's something that he should take into consideration. How do I prove this? First of all, we have this Rashi, which is very bizarre. Rashi says, you know, Yitzchak, we discussed this yesterday briefly, Yitzchak said to Esav, the way the brachas are going to be given, the way it's going to work is, you're going to bring me matamim, you're going to bring me delicacies, you're going to bring me some delicious food. And through eating this delicious food, my spirits are going to be lifted, and I'm going to be able to bring down upon you the blessings from Shemayim. So go out into the field, go trap an animal, go hunt, and when you hunt, you'll get and find an animal, you'll prepare, you'll bring it to me. And that's a condition, that is a absolute condition for you to receive the blessings. You have to go out and hunt. Your profession. You're a hunter. Go out to the field, hunt with your telicha v'kashtecha, your bow and your arrow. Hunt. Find an animal, capture it, slaughter it, prepare it, bring it to me, and we will proceed. Rivka violated the condition. Rivka, she tells Yaakov, you're going to go, and I have some food stashed away. Wait a minute! You have to hunt! You got to hunt! That's part of the deal, that's part of the condition. And where's the food? So the answer is, Yaakov, the hunting was already done. The condition was done. Yitzchak, your father, he did the hunting. You know who he hunted? He hunted me. He courted me. Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. When Eliezer was sent to find the zivug for Yitzchak, so he was working out in the field, and Yitzchak was working also in the field. And I say field, I mean like in a modern term, field. You go out, you go, you know, you're in the army, so go out and you go out into the field to go do your work. Yitzchak vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basode, he was mispalel. He went out to daven for his zivah. When Eliezer was out there and Aram Naharayim with his camels and Rivka, who was the gasoline that was bringing the siyata d'shmaya for Eliezer to succeed? Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basode, Yitzchak went out to talk. Lo suach Rashi ein sicha elo l'shoin tefila. He went to daven. The koyach hatzfila is a geder of tzedah. When you dive into Hashem, what are you doing? There are moving targets out there. There are dollar bills that have feet. And when you dive into Hashem, it's as if you're setting your bow and arrow. B'charibiyu v'kashti. Tel yicha v'kashtecha. What does tel yicha v'kashtecha? Yaakov himself says, Asher lakachti b'yad ha'emori, b'charibiyu v'kashti, targum, b'tzilusoi, with my prayers. Take your bow and arrow, go out into the sod of it, sudali tzayit. That's a condition. Rivka said to Yaakov, we fulfilled that condition. Your father himself already did the hard work for you. Your father, he went out into the sodeh. Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basodeh. He went to the sodeh. He went out with his tel yicha v'kashtecha, with his bow and arrow, and he was mispalel. And you know who he caught?
Me.
He caught me. I'm the tzeder. And you know what he promised me, Rashi, on the spot in the ksuba? Rashi's, I have a ksuba. Wow. You're married for 83 years and you still know where your ksuba is? Pretty good. Married for 83 years. It says in the ksuba. Look, it's on the wall. 83 years ago, the ksuba. It's Rashi bringing, wow, a romantic couple. They're still married 83 years and even know where the ksuba is. How many 83-year-olds know where the married know where the ksuba is? You're supposed to know, right? Don't ask, don't tell. You have to, it says in the ksuba, I'm entitled every single day to shnei gidoyei izin. So I got the food for you. We fulfilled tzeda. We are fulfilled lasuach basodeh. He did it. Your father already did it. All the conditions have been fulfilled by someone else, by your own father. Your father went out into the sodeh. He went out with his bow and arrow. He caught me. And what he promised me in the ksuba, shnei gidoyei izim. Here they are. That condition has been fulfilled. Not done yet, Yaakov. I'm sending you, Yaakov. I'm not sending Esau. That's right, let your father know who's coming. Your father will know good and well. He said himself, HaKol Kol Yaakov. I'm sending you Yaakov, but I'm sending you with a different type of fulfillment, giving him a good strong message. I'm sending him the Tzudeli Tzayid with the Telich of the Kashtecha of his own doing with the Matanim. You know what else we're gonna do? I remember those days, those romantic days. I was in Aram Naharayim and I met this nice tall man, Eliezer. He came up to me. He wanted Hagmi'ini Matmayim. And he said to me, I gave him water. You know what he did to me? He gave me, put on my nose, a nose ring. He gave me a gift. He put on my nose. It says he put on me a nose ring. He pierced my nose on the spot. He had all the tools ready. He was prepared for this. He put on my nose a nose ring, and he gave me bracelets on my hands, on my arms. The bracelets were kineged, aseres hadibrois, the luchois. So you know what? Let me put something on your hands to remind them. The oirois of the shnei gidoye izim were on his hands. V'loihi ki roi ki hoyu yadav. Kidei Esav Achiv Si'iris. Why the hands? Well, when I married your father, I got a gift. He put on my hands something. It's a reminder of hands. And then what does it say? He ate from the Mat'amim. Gishona Ushakoli Bini Vayorach. He smelled the fragrance of Yaakov, Re'eh, Re'ach b'ni, K're'ach ha-sodeh, Asher beruchoy Hashem. So mitzad echad is the re'ach ha-sodeh, it's my own doing, the sodeh, but what's the re'ach? The nose. That was the gift. The gift. He was now reminded when Eliezer was Meshadich, Rivka, to Yitzchak, he gave her two gifts. He gave her a nose ring, and he gave her, put something on her arms. Go back to your father and remind him about the nose and the arms. Remind him about the two gifts. The nose was the Rashi says bekalagus. It's the two kolos. It really is the two kolos. It's Rashi. This is bekalagogoyles. That's for the shiklei, the shkola for the korbanos, the avoda, and the aseres hadibra. It's the two parts of Klal Yisrael. We do avoda. We dive into Hashem avoda, and we learn Torah. Hakol kol Yaakov. There's the kol of Torah and the kol of Tefillah. The nose ring, and the arms. It says he goes to him, and he feels his arms, his hands, and he smells the nose and the arms with the mat'amim and the ksuba. That's part of the two shnei gedoyim and the sodeh. Rivka was in essence saying, "I'm presenting you with Yaakov, but Yaakov is thoroughly enveloped in every way and shape and form in your commitment to me. And this is what I want. And this is what I know to be correct. And you have to listen to me, my husband." All of the elements, when Rivka, Eliezer presented the whole story to the family, there's something very important that happened. They said, "Listen, may Hashem yotza hadava lenuchal daber toy v'ra." But you know something? We have to ask her. She has to make the decision. Nish'ala espiha. Let's ask her. That's a very interesting thing. A three-year-old girl, since when do you ask a three-year-old girl what she wants or not? In ancient times, this is the way it is, whether it's a shotgun wedding, whether you like it or not. A shotgun. Whether you like it or not, we take you down the chuppah. This is it. It's a good deal. They got gifts, presents, money. It's a no. Nish'ala espia. Do you want to go with this man or not?
Right away,
and she said, "Eitzei, I will go. I made a decision, v'nish'ala espia. I made a decision to marry you. You owe me. This is a two-way street. This is a double relationship." What Rivka in essence really did was, she presented, they had a disagreement. "I'm not going to fight with you. You're my husband. You're the boss." That's the way it is in Jewish marriage. The husband is the boss. "But I have a right." At least you think it is, right? You think it is. "But I have a right to make an argument, I have a right as a wife to make an argument, to present my case, that I have a right. No one can deny me that right of presenting my case with every koich that I have. My husband Yitzchak, I am presenting you one last time with my arguments. I'm presenting you with Yaakov. I've put on his hand my bracelets. I put on his nose my nose ring, upon your nose, the nose. I presented the ksuba. And I remind you, I'm his mother. And I'm a partner in this marriage. I agreed to marry you, to be part of this. I gave up on myself." Yeah, it wasn't probably, I can't imagine it was easy being married to an Oyla Tanima. He was an Oyla Tanima, must have been a Matashanese. Eitzei, Haselchi Imo Yishazeh. "Do you want to go with this man?" "Vatomer, yeah, I do." You owe me. Yaakov was enveloped in Rivka, in Rivka's bakasha. And all of that contributed to Yitzchak acknowledging, at least in some dimension, allowed it to weaken his vision of what was really going on. Listen, my wife's a partner. I davened for her. I went out to pray for her. I went out to the Sada. I caught her with my own bow and arrow. She wanted to follow after me. She made a decision. When she said Eitzei, the same way she made a decision to marry me, she has a right to make a decision who should get the Bechara, get the Brachas. You gave me rings, a nose ring. You gave me bracelets on my arm. Feel his arm. Smell his fragrance. It will remind you of the Kiddushin, of the bracelets and the nose ring. Remember your commitment to me. Remember that I agreed. I'm a partner in this. And it is your duty to listen to me in this instance. And indeed, he gave him the brachas. Or at least all of these things together combined to weaken his resolve to do it his way. Obviously, there's a disagreement. Back of his mind, let's say it's the wrong kid. My wife, this is what she really wanted anyway. So what's so terrible? Give it to Yaakov. That's what she really wanted. And all of these things were subtle elements which combined to allow this to happen. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll stop over here. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.